Proverbs chapter 16, and then put your finger in there and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to start at Proverbs 1. While you're doing that, I really want to encourage you couples to think about October 19th or 21st, the Couples Conference. And it's going to be a great, great time. Dr. Paul Chapman and his wife Terry is going to be there. Patch the Pirate and Ron Hamilton and his wife Shelley. And then we have Dr. Mark and April Campbell down here at Arlington Baptist Church down here in Baltimore. And it's Thursday night, all day Friday, and then Saturday morning. And it's going to be a great time. You need to kind of save your pennies to do it. But I really want to encourage you to do that. And we have a sign-up sheet out there. So why is it so far ahead? Because a certain amount of hotel rooms saved at that price. So you can still go, but you're just going to have to pay more to get there. And so I really want to encourage you to do that. We're going to try to get some things together real soon. And so I encourage you to sign up and just bite your bullet, eat Cheerios for breakfast instead of McDonald's and a fancy coffee, and you'll be able to make it by then. All right, so I want to encourage you to do that. All righty. Let me say this before we start. When God wrote the Word of God, He inspired, of course, these men, moved by the Holy Spirit, to write the Word of God. He meant what He said. Okay? Look in Proverbs chapter 1. Let me begin at verse 1. I want you to see some things here. Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. It's going to give us the purpose of why he wrote these Proverbs. Look what it says. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Now, this was written by the, considered the wisest man who ever lived. He was inspired by the holy and righteous God. So he says, in these Proverbs, it will teach you to know wisdom. He's not hiding it. He's not trying to slide and be kind of coy with it. If you look at the book of Proverbs, that's why I encourage folks to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters. Today is the 19th, no, the 12th. 12th. 19th. Boy, I'm behind. 19th. So read chapter 19. You would say, well, I missed yesterday. Okay, well, then Tuesday, read 21. Next month, you're going to come back and read it again. Keep reading the Proverbs. Look what it says. Because the Proverbs will help you to know wisdom, verse 2, help you to know instruction, to be instructed, to perceive the words of understanding. Look at verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Look at verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple. You say, well, I just don't know. Now, in that area, this is not to be mean. It's just the way the word is used. It means that we're simple, not understanding in that particular area. That's not bad. The bad part is when we allow ourselves to stay there. We're born simple. We don't have to stay simple. So he says, I'm going to give, verse 4, give subtlety or understanding, cleverness or to the simple. Watch. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. That's the first age he's talked about here. He says the book of Proverbs is written so young men, young ladies, can understand what God wants in their life. So this is not supposed to be complicated. Anybody with simple, average intelligence should be able to see what it says in this book. I'll tell you what the problem is. We don't want to believe what it actually says. It's not difficult to understand what it says. It's difficult to get our old flesh to do what it says. And so we think, well, that's just too hard. He must not mean that. He says, I'm writing this so some young man can understand it. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain into wise counsels. To understand a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then it starts to give some instruction. My point being in reading that is, what we're going to talk about tonight is not complicated. It's just hard for us to get ourselves to actually do it. Not necessarily because we're lazy, but because we're not willing to trust God in the process that He has described. Now let's go to Proverbs 16, verse number 1. Proverbs 16, verse number 1. Now you remember this. He means what he says here. He means what he says. Verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Look at verse 3. This is our text verse. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know what he means? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Go back to verse 3 one more time. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, I announced this morning, I'm going to preach on this topic, how to have God guide your thoughts. How to have God guide your thoughts. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the truths. Lord, you wrote this book. Your Holy Spirit inspired and moved holy men of God, and they penned these things. But Lord, we have your Holy Spirit if we're saved. Lord, I pray that you, as the author, will teach us, make it very real, clear, and plain, so that we will not miss what you're telling us here this evening. We ask for your Holy Spirit. May we have ears to hear, hearts to receive what you've given us here this evening. And we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. There are many folks who say they want to know God's will for their lives. They say that if they just knew exactly what God wanted, that they would do it. They have ideas come into their heads, and then they wonder if those ideas are from God or from their own desires. Sometimes we become impatient. We want God to give us an answer, and we want it now. Demanding of God is really not a good way to please God. Now, He likes the fact that we keep praying, even though He hasn't given the answer yet. That's a different story. Lord, I'm still waiting. Because like old Jacob who wrestled with I think, the pre-incarnate Christ right there in the river Jabbok, he said, I will not let you go lest you bless me. He says, I like that. That's not the point. But to demand of God is a different story. It's different than claiming a promise of God. We can claim a promise of God with importunity, continuing to watch and pray to God. And we need to pray and watch and wait for Him to give the answer. I've also found that sometimes we want to know God's will, and we want it now. But if God's will doesn't reveal itself on our time schedule, we will decide a will and put God's name on it. The Bible says in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. That's what he means. So I'm not going to yell at you. I want you to seek my will. Well, I say, well, he hasn't said anything yet. Well, where else are you going to go? Apparently, right now, he wants you right where you are. Paul said, whatever I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. You know what that means? There are some states that if you don't let yourself, if you don't watch yourself, you can be very discontented. I don't like where I am right now in life. I don't like where God has put us. But the fact is, sometimes God puts us in places for a reason. My guess is Job didn't like the place that God had put him. My guess is Paul didn't like sitting in prison right away. My guess, he didn't like getting shipwrecked. My guess is he didn't like getting bit by a snake. But the fact is, God used all those things. You say, well, I want to know God's will. You know what we say? I want to tell God what I want His will to be, and once it lines up with my will, then we're good to go. The person who puts God's name on their will is really not looking for God's will, because if they were, they would not accept anything else. They wouldn't change it. They'll just stay right where they are. Listen, if you don't know for sure it is God's will, then apparently God can't make it plain for you. Well, that's a lie too. I've missed it. Listen, I've said this, I haven't said it for a long time, but I used to say this all the time. When I got up here and become this church, I know got folks who've been here ever since I've been here. I think about Irene, she's been here ever since I've been here. And she's probably heard me say this so many times. But the fact is, God knows I'm stupid. God knows that there's some things I don't know. But if I'm seeking Him, committing myself unto Him, wanting to know the Word of God, getting my nose in the book, if He doesn't show me, it's His fault. And maybe I'm not supposed to understand that right now. There may be something else that's more important in my life He's trying to get straightened out. When I realize that if I seek Him with all my heart, I'll find everything He wants me to find. I'll be able to do what I need to do. I'll be able to lead a church if I need to lead a church. I will have the wisdom to give the counsel that someone needs when they walk into my office. If I am seeking His Word, just like I've said, we've been saying every Sunday morning, the book of law shall not depart out of thou, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. I'll understand the Word so I can prosper in the way, and sometimes that may be helping somebody else in their way. Can have success in these things God's called us to do. The reason most people do not know what is of God and what is not of God is because they do not allow God to be God in their lives. I want to go over some basic principles with us this evening. And we need to settle some things in our heart and our lives so that we don't wander to the right or to the left, but walk straight on. Even if many of the people around you do not agree with your actions, we need to do what God has called us to do. And sometimes He asks us to wait upon the Lord so that we can mount up with wings as eagles. Let me give you number one. These are simple things, but they're foundational. Number one, God is the source of all truth. Settle that. Settle that. God is the source of all truth. Look at verse 1, our chapter, Proverbs 16, 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. That word preparations means the arrangement, the mental disposition, the way we should be thinking. The way we should be thinking in the heart of man and what we should be saying, the answer of the tongue, is from the Lord. What he's saying is, I shouldn't really say anything if it's not in agreement with him. I shouldn't be thinking anything if it doesn't agree with him. I need to decide that I'm going to do what he wants me to do, because what I need to understand to be able to say what I need to say, to do what I need to do, the preparation to get my heart ready to live life, the source of that truth is from the Lord. It's not me. Now, he may use other people to teach me some things like we do here in church. But there again, we're here to find out what he says, not what Sterling Walsh says. Now, there's some times when I'll say, well, you know, if it was my opinion, I would say so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm going to let you know it's my opinion. But there's things here in the book that's very clear. It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's his opinion. In fact, it's his truth. And we need to stop fighting this. We must settle this thought. God is the source of all truth. Psalm 119, 124 says this. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. Have pity on me and tell me what I'll do. That's where he said, I just want to serve you, Lord. Have pity on me and tell me what I ought to do. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. You want God to guide your thoughts. Well, then you got to decide that he's the one, the source of truth, that he has the thoughts I want. We say, well, I want him to guide. But see, what we're doing is we're kind of vetting it. Well, I don't like that one. Well, I don't like this one. Well, this is okay. Okay. Oh, that's a good one. Guide me on that one. I like that one. Number two. Number one is God is the source of all truth. Number two, settle on this. Man tends to lie to himself. Man tends to lie to himself. By the way, just so you know the way this works, that means ladies too. Man, don't just throw it into guys. I don't know, he lies to himself all the time. He thinks he's such a hot shot. No, man tends to lie to himself. Look at verse 2. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. I've got the world on a string. We think we have pure motives and right thinking. But the preparation of the heart, of the mind, and all is to come from God. Are we looking for him? Have we decided? I don't know. See, we're told in our society, that's dumb. Don't let anybody hear you say that. I don't care who hears it. The wisdom of God is superior. In fact, it's ultimately superior than anything Sterling Walsh can think of. I don't want to guide you in Sterling Walsh's wisdom. If I guided you in Sterling Walsh's wisdom, there's a lot of things I wouldn't say. Because I don't like anybody to get mad at me. I want everybody to like me. I really do. In fact, you know, if we're not careful, the preacher said, well, I'll be able to build a big church if everybody thinks I'm really neat. If I'm really liked, then they'll come and we'll have a whole bunch of folks. Meantime, I'm not telling you the truth, but I feel real good about it. And yet, we have a bunch of sheep who will follow anything they can follow. See, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow Christ. You can follow me as I follow Christ, but if I get off track, you follow him, you stay on his path, not my path. Men lie to themselves. All the ways of man are clean in his own sight. He's got it all worked out. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. You can't fool God. You can fool yourself. Listen, all of us have talked ourselves into some things over the years. You know what? I really like to do so-and-so. I think it's the Lord's will for I do this. I just think it is. I like it. I feel peace about it. But see, all the ways of man are, the heart of man is deceived above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The next verse says that God knows it. He tries the hearts. We think that what we are thinking must be right because we thought of it. And then it doesn't seem to work out and we're all surprised and confused and we blame God for not helping us. Our hearts lie to us and we do not know truth. Truly know truth. God knows truth. He's the source of all truth. We say, I'm doing this, but it's just not working. And see, my walk with God should be good enough for God. Seems good enough for me. He should be happy with where I am. I mean, I'm not doing this and this and this. It's kind of like, guys, your wife wants to talk to you. And you say, okay, I turned off the TV. But that doesn't mean you're still listening. Your mind's out there on a hill in a tree stand someplace. We think, well, I'm not doing this anymore, so I must be right with God. Well, maybe I'm right her, or less wrong, but where am I actually? Have I decided that he's the source of all truth, and I lie to myself? Jehovah, the Lord, knows how to balance things out and see them for what they really are. He weigheth the spirits. God sees things on a level field. He can estimate and weigh right and wrong both physically and within our hearts. Listen, his view is not skewed by the surroundings like ours could be. Janet and I and the kids all went over some years ago to a place called Johnstown. And it's called Gravity Hill. That's what they call it. I don't know if you've ever been to a place called, it's out in the middle of a woods someplace. It's really funny. But you go out there and you're supposed to, you go out and you, and it's a good thing because there's nobody on the road there. But they tell you to go out and start a certain place, put the car in neutral, and just sit there. And so help me, it looks like you start going uphill. You start drifting uphill. It really does look like that. But you're not. It's just the way the hills kind of come around, and it's this optical illusion. I was telling my wife the other day, she's already ahead of me, don't say what I'm going to say. I said, sometimes we have optical illusions. Sometimes we're trying to find the will of God, we have optional delusions. Optional delusions. Well, this would probably be just as good. This might be just as good. Now, I'm going to say something here. I didn't really put on my notes here, but I want you to see some things. You know, the longer that we've lived with that optional delusion mentality, the further we probably have wandered from that little path. And it's almost like we can't even see that path anymore. But it's interesting. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think sometimes, like the day that we got saved, realize we can't live, we can't work our way to heaven. It's by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. All of a sudden, boom, we're justified. Not perfect, but justified. I think that we come to the conclusion, I'm stupid. God isn't. He's got the answer. I need to start doing what he wants me to do. And we really do it. I think within pretty short order, we could probably find our way to the right path. Now, who knows? We might have to start back here in the path where we got off a long time ago. I've done that. That's happened to me. But I'd rather be, you say, well, we're making good time. We're not anywhere near where we're supposed to be, but we are making good time. Maybe that's what happens sometimes. It's like that old car trip, you know? You've had great traffic. You're going 200 miles in the wrong direction, but we're making good time. We might have to come back to the intersection where we got off and say, he's going to be the one who's going to give us our direction. He can estimate and weigh things out. We think a thought, and we think it must be of God. It sounds good to me, but God knows when we're being led by him or being led by some wrong spirit. He weighs the spirit. God is a source of truth. Number two, man tends to lie to himself. Number three, if, number one, God is truth, and two, we tend to lie to ourselves, then we should turn things over to God and get his thoughts and not ours. I mean, this is not rocket science. I want to know, God, I want God to guide my thoughts. Well, this is what I'm telling you. Look at verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, let me give you a couple of definitions. The word commit, let me go all the way down to establish. Establish means erected, set up, confirmed. It says, my thoughts will be confirmed. My thoughts will be directed. My thoughts will be fashioned. My thought will be fitted into what it should be. It should be, my thoughts will be fixed. My thought will be right and meet and perfect for the situation. My thoughts will be ordered. My thoughts will be perfected, will be grow into having good thoughts, good understanding. He says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts, your contrivance, your intentions, your plans, your imagination, your purpose, your thought. He says, listen, you can have your thoughts directed by the Lord, established, confirmed. This is not rocket science. You say, well, that's I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. He says, here it is. Commit thy works. Let me give you your works. The action, the transaction you got coming, the activity you have coming, the property, the business, the deed that you have to do, the occupation, the operation, the possession, what it is that you've got going on here in your life. He says, I've got to take that work, that thing that needs to be done, and I need to commit it unto the Lord. Now watch me. When we dug our foundation out here and worked on the ball field, they found some rocks. And they're down here. I mean, I'm not talking about rocks. I'm talking about rocks. And they're down here, and I'm going to be honest with you, one of these days we're probably going to, I'm going to call on Darren and some of these other guys who got these big rigs. I want to move the stones around here and build a little rock, put a little lighthouse on it, make it look. Anyway, we'll see. I hate it. They were nice rocks. I don't want to get rid of them. And anyway, but have you ever had those great, great big rocks? We've had some in our house where you can't just pick them up and move them. You know what you do? You pick them and you roll them. You know? We've had times. My dad was in real estate. I can't tell you how many times we went out and he bought a piece of property and he could see what it was going to be. But what that meant was we were all going to go out and work. And he always had some kind of rig going on. He'd have a big front end loader, you know. And so here we go. We're going to take this thing and we're going to take this rock and we're going to roll it into the bucket. And then it says, okay. Makes you feel about that big. Because he moves that thing wherever he wants. The word commit means to roll it over onto. Yeah. Now, where's the rock? It's in the bucket. do I have the rock? I don't know how to move the rock. I don't have the strength to move the rock. I don't have the wherewithal to move the rock. So what do I need to do? I need to take that rock and roll it over into the hands of God. He goes, okay, where you want it. Now, our problem is we say we commit it to the Lord. Most time we haven't committed it, we've just complained. We've complained about this. Well, this isn't right either. We ought to be doing something here. Well, wait a minute. Maybe God's not ready to do what you're complaining about. Maybe he has a work he's trying to do. In fact, you all may have, probably have, had God guiding your thoughts. You just didn't like what he said. Sometimes he says, wait. Now, God's not stupid. If he says, commit thy works, what needs to be done, roll over what you need to be done, put it in my hand, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts, your imagination, your plans, your way of thinking will be established, it will be set up, it will be completed, it will become what you need it to be, then that's what he means. So wait a minute. I remember one time we were working out in one of these, Dad would, he'd go in, he just could just take a piece of property and see, he could see what's supposed to be. And he would use a little bit of nothing as far to do it. He'd have the little truck. He had a tractor with a mower on the back, just one big old blade. And he just run down through the woods, and you see trees falling, and then you could hear the mower hit the stump. Well, he got another one, and he go down. You know, he's just moving along there. And there's it. Well, you missed it. It was something. It was something. And but I remember one time we were rolling these stones over. It took Mom and my sister and me. Well, I tell you, that was a work crew. And we rolled this stone onto the bucket. I wanted to see what he was going to do with it. He decided, let's break for lunch. I got it over there. Now do something with it. Nope, not yet. Sometimes we roll it over, we give it to him, and say, come on. What? Move it. Oh, I don't want to move it. I want to leave it right here right now. Where we're going to put it. There's a time. And the right time, I'll move that rock. But you see, we'll say, and you know what we'll do? We'll say, we'll just move it now. I could do it. And sometimes they say, isn't that the manly thing to do? It's the human thing to do. But maybe, did we commit it to him? Then let him leave it, keep it. Yeah, but I'm not seeing what's supposed to be happening yet. What do you mean? You don't know what's supposed to be happening yet. You see, man tends to lie to himself, and God's the source of all truth. So right now, truth is saying it's staying right here. Now we start moving that thing. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have a hernia. And then we're going to blame God for letting us down. He said, I told you to keep your grimy fingers off of it. What were you doing moving it? We do that with relationships. We're in a relationship that we don't like the dynamics. And we want God to change them. Change her. Fix this thing. I've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. Oh, I have committed it. And you're still mad about it? How can you be mad about it? Did you give it to him? Then he knows what to do with it. Yeah, but it's annoying me. Fire the furnace for gold, a finding pot for silver. God trieth the hearts. Maybe he's trying to teach you to love. Maybe he's trying to do it. Maybe you're the one that needs the work. Well, you don't know what all they're doing. Well, let God take it. You rolled that over on him. You commit it to him and thy thoughts. You say, well, well, I'm still, if you're still thinking about how you're going to figure this out, you haven't committed it to him. Because you're still trying to figure out, what if God doesn't do what I want him to do? I wonder what I tell you what I could do. I could try this. Well, I could try. Your brain is all full of your thoughts. He can't squeeze his in edgewise. This book will also not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Bless the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, and sit in the seat of the scornful, but in his law doth he meditate day and night. What is your thoughts supposed to be full of? His word. But if you're still conniving that it's not full of his word, it's full of your thoughts. Why isn't God showing me? Why isn't God guiding my thoughts? You've got too much stuff going in there already. Number four. Jehovah put everything in place, and he knows where everything is and how things work. He knows how to run that machine. He knows how to lift it up. He knows how to take it where it needs to be. He knows exactly where he wants to put that rock. We need to roll it over to him, let him have it. Look at verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everything's in place. God knows where it is. He didn't forget. He didn't fall asleep. He didn't fall off the throne. He's not busy working with Donald Trump and he'll get around to you when he gets time. He has time is not a problem. Too many thoughts are not a problem. He put it all together. Yeah, but you listen. Did you see what that is? Now that's just plain wicked. That can't be God. God knows it was going to be here. It hasn't taken him by surprise. You know, old saying, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He didn't say, oops, I missed that one. Do you believe this? God's the source of truth. We tend to lie to ourselves. We have to commit it and put it in his hands because he knows what's going on. We don't. There's a greater plan. This also has to be settled. You want to know God's word. You want him to guide your thoughts. Well, you've got to settle. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable and is on all his ways. Why does he put the last verse in there? Because sometimes, well, I'm going to commit it to the Lord. Come on, Lord. And we're all worked up, we're going to make ourselves crazy. Because we say we give to God, but we're still holding on to it. Listen, you'll end up in a psych ward. I know good Christians who've ended up in a psych ward. And sometimes the reason is they wouldn't let God be God in their life. They say, I gave it to him, but it's not working the way I want. I don't understand. You didn't give it to him. You just want him to end on your plan. We roll something over on God, and you know what we're supposed to do? We're done. Do what you're supposed to do as a Christian. Rest in him. Read his word. Love folks. Win them to Christ. Read your Bible. Go to church. You're a wife, be the wife you're supposed to be. If you're a husband, be the husband you're supposed to be. Well, nothing has changed yet. Now, wait a minute. God knows what everything's supposed to happen. Apparently, it's not time. Well, I think it's time. Well, yeah, you're taking it back off the bulldozer. You're taking it off the thing, off the front loader. You're not allowing him to be God. Watch. If you think you can do anything without God, you're already on the wrong side of God. Look at verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. We say, okay, Lord, guide my thoughts. But if you're a proud person says, you know what? A proud person thinks he's got the world on the string and he's all that in a bag of chips. Well, you might not say, well, I'm not that bad. Are you willing to listen to God? Well, you know, he's God, you know. I know, but he's the source of all truth, right? We tend to lie to ourselves. You know, but I just think, he says, a proud in heart, someone who's a proud in heart is an abomination. That means he's his own idol, and God finds that disgusting. That's what abomination is. It's abomination to the Lord. And then it says, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. A guy who says he's going to do what he wants to do, or a woman who goes ahead and just keeps doing the same thing, doing it and doing it their way, it makes God disgusted. And then he says, though hand join in hand, we shall not be unpunished. Watch. It doesn't matter how many other people agree with your idea and your plan and your scheme. If the schemes are of you and not of the Lord, there are going to be bad consequences. Well, listen, I know what Oprah said, and I know what Dr. Phil said, and I know what my girlfriend says, and I know what the lady down the street says, and I was in there at the coffee house, and you know what they said? And I'll tell you what, I think I'm going along with everybody else. Well, are they going along with God? Well, they're not going along with God. You're going around the wrong crowd. Yeah, but we all hand out. You know, we cried. And then we laughed. We hugged. We called each other. We encouraged one another in the wrong thing. If it doesn't agree with the word of God, it's still wrong. Though we all join hand in hand and sing kumbaya, it's not going to be right if God's not in on the circle. I'm sorry. I want to know, I want God to guide my thoughts. Well, then listen to his thoughts. Get rid of your thoughts. Commit thy way, your works, unto the Lord. Roll it over on him. Get your grimy fingers off and let him deal with it. And then go live the rest of your life the way, well, this problem is still in my life. Yeah, but that's not stopping you from doing what you're supposed to do. God knows your heart. It's between you and the Lord what your heart is. Well, I've got a husband who won't let me go to church on Sunday night or on Wednesday night. All right, well, obey him and love him. God knows your heart. Read your Bible. Do some things. Take some messages off from Wednesday night. You can get them and do it at home on Wednesday night or on Thursday while he's at work. Well, if I could just change him, my life would be okay. No, it won't. Because you're not listening to God, you're listening to you. In fact, if you don't get, sometimes these things don't change because God is trying to squeeze you to teach you a lesson. Because if you feel like you fix this, then you're going to fix the next thing. And all of a sudden, we're back to being proud again, which is abomination to the Lord. Well, my girlfriend said that he deserved what I did to him. And I shouldn't have to, yeah, though hand join hand. He shall not be unpunished. And we do two things here and I'll be done. You know what? I'm going to stop right there. We're going to come back to this in 2 weeks. Nope, 3 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks till we get around this. Listen, you go home and read this passage in Proverbs. In fact, you read 6 through 9, see if you can come up with the same thing I came up with. Let God's Word say what God's Word says. It's not that hard. You see, we say, well, committing it to the Lord is just not that easy. You know what the hard part is? Committing it. It is. Rolling that stone over in there, but no, it's done. The real thing is fighting yourself, getting our fingers off of it and letting Him have it. Commit thy work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts will be established. So if I want my thoughts to be established, I need to commit my work unto the Lord. I need to roll. What's complicated? You know, it's like telling your kids, you know, we're not going to have the candy now. We're going to have it after dinner. And it turns out we say no. What part of no don't you understand? We do the same thing to God sometimes. What part of commit don't you understand? He said, give it to me and leave your fingers off of it. But I'm still having to deal with it every day. Well, forgive them, move on. Do what you're supposed to do within the context of where God has you. Do right. And forget about it. But it just kind of irks me. Oh, that's right, God's not doing His job. Forgot about that. The godly shall suffer persecution. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God shall deliver them out of them all. Yeah, but He didn't deliver me yet. Yet. We don't know how long Job was in his mess. We don't know. It could have been years. In fact, the residual consequences, I mean, it says he had the same number of kids all over again. My guess is God didn't make her have them all at once. And it didn't come out adults. She had one or two at a time, and they had to raise them all over again. But God did His work on His time. It could be He is guiding our thoughts, but we don't like where He's pointing. Let's just commit it and give it to Him. Father, thank You for speaking to us here this evening. We'll go a little further on this another time. Father, I thank You for Your word. Lord, I'm not trying to be facetious. I just want our folks to understand the truth. You wrote this so even a young man could understand it, to know truth and wisdom, understanding, discretion, to be able to have the wisdom to live life as You called him to live. And really, when it's all said and done, with old Abraham, the just are to live by faith. Trust God for the source of truth. Trust God for our provision. Trust God for our protection. Trust God to do right. In the meantime, we just do what He's told us to do along the way in the rest of His word. Lord, speak to hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Piano's going to play. The altar.